Hello and welcome to 8 Pixel Radio. On today's show, we have
Dan, that guy you probably muted on Twitter a while ago.
Why would people mute you, Dan?
If you don't like threads, that's kind of my whole shtick. So there was a period where people were pretty anti-threads, or Elon nuked them.
I remember, and I went through a period of actually feeling pretty guilty of making a thread because of the optics.
Yeah. Well, you have a personal brand and a professional brand to worry about. I just carried on doing it regardless of the optics.
And you really lent in.
Yeah. No, like essays, like. I think the longest one I did was 20 plus tweets. It was kind of insane.
Have you ever heard of articles, Dan?
I've heard about them, but I don't know. I like to break them up into 180 word chunks or whatever it is, 280 character chunks. It's actually kind of an interesting writing exercise, having to break them down into these tiny little digestible chunks that you don't have in an article. You can waffle.
I agree. I think it's made me a better writer.
Yeah. I do miss them. Because now, like, if you write a thread, they don't show, like in Twitter, that they don't show that it's a thread anymore. No, like, 8 more replies or whatever. It's just like, you have to use an emoji and point down or whatever. That's too much.
Nobody wants emojis, Dan.
No.
All right. Are you ready for the first question?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. Which song or album can you listen to on repeat?
So I realized when I was prepping all of these questions that I'm going to sound like an awful tech bro just the whole way through this. But there's this album by John Mayer from like 2008 called Where the Light Is. And it's like a live concert recording, him playing, like, he first plays like as a jazz trio or something, which sounds like insane. It's like a bluesy jazzy trio, and then he transitions into just playing like normal stuff for the second half. And honestly, it's a double disc album. Like, I had it on CD and now I just have Spotify, but I can listen to that on repeat back without stopping, like, for eternity maybe. It's just fantastic. Like, he's such a good musician, but it doesn't really translate into his sort of like polished, like recorded stuff. So there's something about this like concert that just shines. It just works, and it's just lovely. We used to drive about 10 hours to go to university and back, like every semester, and without fail, I would just put this on to like start the trip. But I also have like a deep nostalgia for this album for some reason. It's all like say what you want about John Mayer and his lyrics and stuff, but it's just, I just love the music for some reason.
So I'm thrown here, because when you said you're going to be a tech bro, I was honestly thinking some like lo-fi bullshit.
Red Again.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was expecting. But you've thrown a curveball because I don't know much about John Mayer, but I know that he has a reputation for something not positive. I don't know what it is. There's an aura around him. Like you mentioned, incredible musician. I think musicians love him. But then, is he a pop artist, or what's the deal?
It's so confusing. Like, he's one of those musicians that should have had an incredible career. Like, on paper, he was like, he's one of the best guitarists who's ever lived. Like, Eric Clapton invites him to his festival every year. Like, he's respected by amazing guitarists. And he's just insane. But I think he went through this phase of like being really popular in like 2007, 2008. And then I think people just turned on him because he's a little bit of a douchebag. Like, he's very pretentious. He comes across poorly in interviews. He was dating like every famous person, basically. And there was like a lot of stuff swirling around about how he's like, just not a nice guy to be around. But I think that's tainted his reputation. And to be honest, I haven't liked any of his music since this one, or before this one album. It's just like this complete island, and but it's like an amazing piece of art, one album.
Is he the tech bro of music?
I think he, yeah, kind of, yeah, that like sort of arrogance that people associate with tech bros, you can kind of see it.
Got it.
Like, he is amazing, so you kind of get it, but yeah, it doesn't translate well.
And you said you drove 10 hours to university. Please elaborate.
Well, I come from South Africa, which is a country that is big. And I went to university in a town called Grahamstown. It's called Rhodes University. And I lived in Johannesburg, and it's a 10-hour drive. It's like 1,000 kilometers away. And so, you know, every 2-3 months or something, drive down, and then, you know, drive back, do the whole, you know, just drive back home for like a week. You'd be like 2 10-hour trips a week apart.
Yeah.
And so just got used to it.
It is a big country, you're right. Wow. Thank you for that. Have you ever seen him live?
No. I don't even think I'd be that interested. Like, if I could rewind to 2007 or 8, whenever this was recorded, and go to that actual concert, that tour, 100%.
Yeah.
But now, like, yeah, I don't know if I'd be into that.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for that. That was a really good answer. And yeah, you threw me a little bit. Now we have time for a random question, which I have not prepared.
Early.
It is early. We're coming in hot, Dan. And the question is, when was skeuomorphic design first used?
No, first used. I mean, doesn't that like go back as far as graphical user interfaces? That's got to be like the first Mac interface, probably. Like the Apple Lisa or whatever it is.
Are you putting a date on this?
I have to explain this joke.
Okay.
Have you ever seen The Other Guys, the movie?
Yeah.
There's a scene in which one of the characters goes, like, when was your last desktop? There's some guy in the background who just shouts, September 08. So by default, when someone asks me, like, what year did this happen? I just say, September 08. Yeah. But basically, I'm going to say 2008. No, I'd say 1983. Let's put a date on it.
Okay. This is it's actually a very hard question to get an answer for. But
yeah, how would you even know?
The term skeuomorphic was coined in 1889. But you're right. Again, that obviously graphical interfaces weren't in that time. And there was an archaeologist who actually came up with the word called Henry Colic Mark. But to get to the actual question,
yeah,
Apple's a hard one because it wasn't called that when they had those interfaces.
Mm.
So technically, yes, Apple have had skeuomorphic interfaces for a long time, but it wasn't really until IBM in 1998, where they had this thing called Real Things, one word. And it was the Real Things package, and they had a thing called a Real Phone, also one word.
Nice.
On the Real Phone, they had a skeuomorphic interface. And then, as we're all aware, Apple killed it in 2013 with iOS 7.
Well, I think that's the last time I had an iPhone, actually, was 2013.
So you have in protest of...
Yeah, I live. So I can't. I just can't. And then over to Android, where everything's skeuomorphic stuff.
Yeah, you just miss it. You just miss it as a purist.
Yeah, yeah. Not quite. I've only ever had one iPhone. It was an iPhone 3G my aunt had. It was while I was at this university that was very far away. So, I mean, everyone's got like flip phones and stuff. And I'm like, you know, check out this iPhone. And everyone's like, what the hell? But it was so expensive to run because, like, it needed internet to basically breathe. And especially at the time, like, data plans in South Africa were extortionate. So it was basically just like this very fancy brick I had with me all the time. And so I kind of hated it, and I just abandoned iPhones.
I remember in my first job, I was like, I need to buy a smartphone. I didn't have a smartphone before that. And I looked on, went on Gumtree and found somebody selling an iPhone 3G.
Yeah.
And I just thought, you know, I'm going to buy this. I've got a job now. I can do this. So I went and met this guy in central London, and I'd never used an iPhone before. Never really, I didn't know what it was. And I was like, you need to prove to me that it kind of works. So he took like the SIM card tray out. I just put my SIM card straight in the phone, not in the tray. And he went, what are you doing? So then we had to walk to this jeweler's to find some like fine tweezers to yank this SIM card out, because I got too excited and just threw my SIM card in this iPhone. And that was embarrassing. I still bought it.
And it's stuck and you're still on.
Yeah, and I still have the same one. All right, skeuomorphic design, we're over. Are you ready for the next question?
Yeah.
What do you find yourself having to consistently convince other people of?
Okay, well, here, this is clear tech bro territory.
Right? Okay.
This is the thing I have to convince people of the most, for some reason, is like sleeping well. It's such a bizarre situation to find yourself in. People always be talking about like, you know, really struggle to get up this morning. How do you get up so early? Like some up early. It's one of those things where the advice is really like painfully simple. Just wake up early and go to sleep early. And it'll suck in the beginning. And then you'll just get used to it. And your life will be better. And so it's that and convincing people not to drink caffeine past like midday. They'll be like, I can't seem to fall asleep, and they're having like a latte at like 5 p.m.
Yeah.
Literally done for that, but they just can't draw the line between the two behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very difficult to like hold up a mirror and just be like, simple things like don't doom scroll in bed before going to sleep. Like, it's not going to help you. And convincing people that sleep is like a miracle drug. You sleep well, you will just, like, most of your life's problems will go away.
Okay.
All that anxiety you feel will disappear if you sleep.
Okay, well, you're going to have to run us through your routine now.
So I go to bed. It's super simple. That's the frustrating part, is like, so all I do is I don't drink coffee after 11 a.m. and then I go to bed at 10 p.m. I wake up at 7 a.m. and that just happens consistently throughout my whole life. And there's exactly not much to do about that.
Do you not have an alarm?
I don't have an alarm. I haven't had an alarm in a while, but I do have like a fail safe. We have smart lights and they will come on at 7:30. So they'll like wake you up naturally. Because I hate being woken up by like a meh, meh sound.
Mm-hmm.
It's awful.
And when you go, you go to bed at 10 o'clock. Is that you're asleep at 10 o'clock or you get into bed at 10 o'clock?
Getting into the bed at 10 o'clock. I take a while to fall asleep, like usually half an hour probably. Mm-hmm. So I do, one thing I do is listen to like certain kinds of podcasts that are like, they have to be the exact right level of interesting. It's too interesting to keep me awake. It's not very interesting, then I'll like daydream and that'll keep me awake. You know what I mean? It needs to be like, I don't know, like politics related or something. You're like, oh, that is crazy. And then you just fall asleep. Yeah.
Do you dream of what you're listening to?
Good question. Not often. Did dream about Rishi Sunak quite a lot. Weird. I think it's unrelated.
Perfect dream.
No, I don't. I tend not to actually. It's mostly like, so there's this podcast called No Such Thing as a Fish. I don't know if you've heard of it, like the QI elves. And that's like the perfect sleep podcast because it's interesting enough in like a dinner party conversation sort of way. But your brain is sort of happy to drift away from it and just go off to sleep.
Do you nap?
No, I've never been able to. I'm not against naps, but I just can't. Like, I can't sleep in cars. I can't sleep in planes, really. Just, I can't sleep in public at all. I need it to be nighttime. I need it to be 10 p.m., really.
You need to be 10 p.m. in your own bed.
Yeah, exactly.
I
Very
also can't
specific.
nap. I can't nap either. I don't know what it is, but I can't. So sometimes you're obviously going to be awake later than 10 p.m. Let's say you meet
Yes.
up with friends or you have a few drinks. How does this impact your week, probably, because you have such a strict schedule?
I think you've even probably seen me past 10 p.m.
I have.
Yeah, no, it's not that big a deal. It just sort of rebounds. So you'll get like one night, just like average sleep. And then you'll just feel like more tired the next day and go to bed slightly earlier. Just sort of rebounds. I think people do stress about like sleep schedule and stuff, but I don't think that helps. Being like anxious about going to sleep tends not to make you sleep better. So I just sort of like roll with it. I used to have this fancy ring that measured like everything, the Oura ring. And I wore it for about 4 years. Then I realized I would only check it if I thought I had a good night's sleep because I didn't want to see like the bad stats. This is like, what am I doing? This is a waste. So I just don't wear it anymore. And I get sleep when I can.
When you started with sleep, I honestly thought you were going to say that you wake up at 5 a.m.
No, not one of those weird people.
Because that would be.
That's terrible.
That's really leaning into the stereotype there. But,
Yeah.
10 to 7 is, that's actually a very healthy amount of sleep.
Yes, that's kind of my point. Yeah.
Don't sleep less, goddammit.
Yeah, that's my point. Sleep is good. Do
Okay.
it.
Do you, I don't know if there's one thing I know about people who value their sleep is that they value lots of different routines. So the amount of water you drink, the amount of exercise you have, what type of food you're eating, are you all in on these things or did you just sleep?
I've gone in and out of some of these sorts of things. So there was a long period where I didn't eat any sugar, like almost carbs. It sort of phased out of that, thankfully, which is like too restrictive. But I am quite like dedicated with exercise, but not for any other reason than it's like I think it's great at reducing anxiety. And I'm quite an anxious person, I think, at a base level. And the exercise routine just keeps me like very mellow. I tend not to stress too much about things because your body's like physically exhausted. You just don't have the energy. And then like slack and stuff doesn't feel like a big deal if you're like tired. So that's really the main reason. But water and that sort of stuff, not really.
Okay.
Not really
All right.
stressed about that.
Let's jump on to the next question. What's the best thing you've never worked on?
Ooh, okay. So I've got another tech bro answer for this one. Kind of have two answers. One is the Teenage Engineering OP1,
Okay.
which is like I guess you could call it like a musical instrument, sort of sampler thing. And it's just like such a creatively designed interface, like the way you step through different things. It has like four knobs that you use to navigate stuff. And the different sequences and stuff are like very playful. Like this one with just this guy, it's like a monkey playing a drum set or something. It's just, yeah, unbridled like fun and creativity, which is quite a unusual thing to find in products these days, like not purely utilitarian. So that's lovely. I wish I'd worked on that. I think it would have been worse if I worked on it.
But I don't see it as too far a stretch from your level of design nerdery to do something like that.
To get into it, but I think I hold myself back with what is possible. I'm sure you experience this in the same way, where you just like get stuck in this sort of routine of, you know, what is possible and what like interfaces are like, and so you just sort of organize everything into these patterns. And I don't know if I have the like the instincts to go like completely left field and think that it's a good idea. You know, I don't have the confidence for that either.
Yeah, I have an instinct that it would be a case of not looking at your laptop at all and doodling, drawing, doing it a different way, because you just immediately run into, yeah, there's a sidebar and there's a container and there's a header and and you get bored very quick.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely think that's true. And you sort of have to be surrounded by people who are on the same page, who are like not gonna nitpick and be like, oh, well, how will you use a gift from it? Like, they're just gonna let it happen. Or, you know.
And you have those, and those devices are pretty expensive too. So it's kind of like luxury design or luxury tech, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that helps, because there's like a, I don't know, if you spend a lot of money on something, you kind of want it to be better than it is to justify your own decision. So when you see this like monkey playing the drums and like, it's so great, I totally understand how I'm going to now play the drums.
Automatically.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that loads of people love what teenage engineering are doing.
Yeah.
For good reason. I think that it's a... Well, firstly, it's kind of linked back to the skeuomorphic thing, I guess, in throwback design, and it's tactile. I'd love to see more tactile design.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's kind of like if Peter Rams was like on acid, I think. He would make stuff like that.
Yeah.
Which we all like.
Maybe somebody will hallucinate this in some program at some point.
Yeah. An AI will hallucinate it soon, I'm sure.
Same maritime, Dan. Okay. Now we're going to actually have a word from our sponsors. Today's episode is brought to us by Polishing Pixels, because Dan and I both know there's nothing more detrimental to your design career and the success of a business than spending all your time moving pixels around a screen and not actually thinking about the user or how the business will succeed. For the show.
We still let that one hang in the air.
Yeah, we definitely haven't spoken about that before.
No. I mean, it's definitely not sort of like a back channel discussion we've had in the
public.
Yeah. I don't even know, like, I wonder if there's something I could say about that that would get me, like, design cancelled, you know? Like, can you get design cancelled by saying, like, are linears actually spending too much time on these landing pages, you know?
Well, you're opening some doors here, because ultimately it's marketing.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think they're actually making, like, a pretty smart decision doing that, because it gets a lot of people in the door.
Yeah, for them, but not for everybody else. So if you copy something hoping that it works in the same way, it's probably not gonna.
Exactly. Yeah, I think it's misunderstanding why it's working for any particular company. A, like, is it working? Like, do you know that for sure? This level of craft that we sort of fetishize in design. Is it working? In some cases, yes. But why is it working? You know, like, what's the mechanism? And in Linear's case, or like at Raycast, we have the same sort of thing where, like, it helps us market the products and then we get more people on that, you know. But if you're making like an enterprise grade VPN or something, like the company I used to work for, it's very hard to justify making like a very flashy marketing website, you know.
Yeah, so that would be a waste, but you know that as somebody who thinks about the impact of that decision, and not just because you want to design something cool.
Yeah, well, I think we all want to design something cool, but I think you need an avenue for it outside of your work that, you know, just make relentlessly tedious diagrams like I do. And then you won't feel inclined to bring that same energy to everything you do at work.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing to do, is to scratch that itch somehow.
Yeah. I think it's honestly a good thing. Side projects, I know they're often derided, like having to do them, that sort of thing. But it's a good way to get your energy out, you know?
Agreed. Maybe let's move on to the fourth question.
Yeah.
What would your last meal be?
Okay, so I thought about this. This is a very off-menu sort of moment. So I think my last menu would consist of three courses. There's this little pizza place in Oslo, where I used to live, Norway. Know that? Called Irrotondo, and I think that means in Italian, it means like merry-go-round or something. And basically, like, they just seat you wherever, you just like share a table with whoever's there. But they make this amazing burrata starter, which is like a focaccia and burrata and all these like fresh tomatoes, and it's just like the perfect combination of like creamy from the cheese and like crispy from the focaccia and like acid from the tomatoes. It's just like kind of the perfect meal. So I'd like to have that as a starter, and then for the mains, it's going to just be like a, because I'm South African, it's going to be a massive piece of meat.
Okay. Like
a big steak. And maybe some like roast potatoes or something on the side, crispy roast potatoes. And then the dessert is another South African special called a malva pudding. I don't know if you've ever heard. Yeah, MALVA, I think.
Okay.
And it's kind of like if you took a sticky puffy pudding and you looked at it and you were like, that's too healthy. You need to make this wheater, if anything. So it's like the same sort of principle where you have like a cakey bit and a toughy-ish sauce, but instead of waiting till afterwards, put the sauce on. We pour it into the cake while it's still being cooked, and then you put it back in the oven. So it's like wheat all the way through. It's so, so good.
Kind of getting towards like fondant level.
Yeah, no, it's absurd, like, how sweet it is. But it's delicious.
Okay. For the extra large piece of meat that you've ordered, are you particular about cuts of meat or maybe how it's cooked?
I would like to say, like, anyone who gets really sensitive about how meat is cooked is kind of like, I just think that's very tedious, you know? I'm so awkward in restaurants. Like, if I order something medium and it comes well done, I'm not saying anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sending it back. I'm just eating it. So I find that kind of like boring. I prefer it slightly like medium, but honestly, even if it's my last meal and it comes well done, I go, I don't care. I'm just eating it. I'm not complaining to the prison guards about that.
I was also kind of surprised that you'd get your like perfect Italian starter in Oslo.
Bizarre, right? Yeah, there's a really nice Italian restaurant in Oslo. It's always full though, so good luck.
And what about drinks?
Ooh, I love Czech beer. So that's a good point. So I recently went to Prague with my parents and we had the day to kill, so we went to Pilsen, which is where they make Pilsner Urquell. It's like a very fancy Czech beer, but they took us on a brewery tour, and down in the caverns of the old brewery, it still makes some brewery in barrels down there, well, some beer in barrels down there. And it's completely like unpasteurized and unfiltered. And at the end of the tour, they give you some of this beer straight from the barrel, and it's just incredible. And it's the only place you can get it. So I think I would like that delivered to me from Pilsen.
Do you want it in a barrel?
Yeah, the big barrels, like the size of this room, sort of big. They're like,
and you jump inside.
Yeah, but it's my last meal, so I mean, might as well drown in a barrel.
Yeah, you can go down strong.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that sounds like a nice menu. It sounds thought out. They kind of match together. You've got something a little bit lighter, a little bit interesting at the start, then just a gigantic piece of meat, the main.
Yeah,
a couple of potatoes on the side, and then the world's sweetest dessert.
Yeah, yeah. No, very much like burrata is the healthiest thing on that menu by quite some distance, which is crazy.
Yeah. And given it's your last meal, have you considered what crime you committed?
This is an interesting one. I don't know what crime I'm like most likely to commit. Probably just getting really annoyed with someone like not moving down the tube, you know, and it just sends me into a rage and I've murdered them.
You know? So you're on your commute and somebody isn't moving down the carriage.
The doors are closing, it's going like beep, 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 beep. And they just stood idly in the middle of the doorway and it's just triggered me.
And you're underground at this point.
Yeah, and that's where violence takes place.
You know? Typically. Well, that is horrific. Thank you.
But that's why they're putting me to death.
For now, giving me future nightmares of you and the tree. Okay, well, let's go into the last question. And the last question is, what's your favorite curse word?
Okay, well, this is a little bit of like a cultural tour through South Africa, so we'll continue with that. We have this amazing South African slang curse word. It's an Afrikaans word. It just means box, but it has like a lot of extra meaning. And the word is doos. So you spell it D-O-O-S, doos. But it essentially means like, it's halfway between like idiots and douchebag, but in that fantastic way where you can never like fully translate a word into another language, like there's some extra color there that isn't quite captured by any English swear word. It's a little bit like between knob and some other words that probably don't need mentioning. Like it's in that constellation, but it's just a very satisfying word to say as a South African. Such a doers.
Would this come up on a list of Afrikaans swear words if I searched for it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Or is it culturally understood as an insult?
Yeah, I think you'd have to search for like slang words. It's a little bit, it's not like explicitly rude. It's not like swear words so much as it is like, I mean, I don't think anyone's ever said this about an actual box. So it's kind of migrated into that territory. So it probably would come up as a swear word.
And it also kind of sounds like something you can get away with as a kid.
Yeah. Yeah, your parents will just giggle, I think.
Right.
Yeah. They'll be like, don't say that at school. But yeah.
Not to your teacher.
Yeah, exactly.
But about them at home.
Yeah. In the safety of this house, you can say whatever you want.
Nice. I like that. Thank you for the South African cultural talk.
Yeah. No worries. Anytime.
And thank you for coming on the show. I've had fun. We had a lovely tour. We ate some meat. Like a chunk of meat we ate there. We spoke about landing pages. And I had fun. Thank you very much.
It was lovely.